Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pratarane Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Viskacha Desa Tarane Om Magyana Timurandasya Gyanana Sukhalaya Taktun Militam Jena Tasme Sri Gurave Namaha. Early in the day, I had the opportunity of addressing you at Govardhan Palace with just a few god brothers and god sisters and other assembled guests in a simple setting. And this evening, with so many of your second generation granddaughters and grandsons sitting at the foot of Giriraj, as one of the previous speakers said, this is almost unbelievable. I had the opportunity of coming with you, Srila Prabhupada, at your request to Sri Vrindavan Dham in the very early 70s with the first group of your students who came here only by your invitation. We did not think in those very early days in India to just come flying to the Holy Dham and checking it out. We came here as your emissaries and soldiers and servants to spread the Sankirtan movement. It's actually ironic in one respect that you, a person of Indian origin, according to the paperwork and your passport, came alone to the West, and you began an entire international movement single-handedly, a movement that had its roots and origin in the land of Bharat Varsha. Empowered by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and the desire to serve your spiritual master, you came alone to the land of the Mileches, and you fulfilled the statement of Lord Chaitanya, which said very clearly that my name will be chanted in every town and village. This was not a prophecy, as some would suspect, because it was spoken by the Supreme Lord himself in the form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and therefore you explained to us that it would happen. And he said, since the Lord has spoken like this, it will happen. Therefore, why not take the credit? And in this way, you urged us on. And then, a few very short years later, you turned your sights back toward your homeland, and you invited 11 of us to come and join you here. I was in London, and we remember the mail came, and there was a blue, thin-papered letter coming from India, an aerogram, as it was in those days, and typed out but signed by you in your hand was the invitation to join you. And you said, we are going to begin the World Sankirtan Movement. And he named 10 names, and then at the bottom he added an 11th name, and he wrote Baby Saraswati, which was my small daughter. And we didn't take weeks and years of planning. It was just really our months of planning. Coordinated between the London devotees and devotees from America, we quickly gathered ourselves together to come back here to India to join you to begin the Sankirtan movement. And in its, you might say, second incarnation. Because Lord Chaitanya, of course, he already began the Sankirtan movement here. But after his disappearance, when so many false advocates and false sampradayas began, things became watered down and lost. And then, later on in the 1800s, by the mercy of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, again, the clarity of the Sankirtan movement was revived. And then his own son, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, joined him in the effort. And then you, Srila Prabhupada. And by your grace, we have joined you also in trying to make these words, my name will be chanted in every town and village, resoundingly true. There are still so many towns and villages waiting for the mercy. And you are the instrument in this age of Kali for that mercy to filter through. It can be understood from Ankalila that no one can spread the Sankirtan movement unless they're empowered by Lord Chaitanya or by the Lord himself. And therefore we can understand, Srila Prabhupada, that you are Shaktavesh Avatar, because you have spread this movement and you have put the name of Krishna into the minds and hearts of people that heretofore would never have even known or heard of his holy name. So our debt to you is immense and practically unpayable. And yet, the only way we can keep on with is with our small payments to struggle to continue to serve your mission and to enlarge in the mission and to increase the awareness of Krishna consciousness, because Kali Yuga is certainly advancing. When we came here to Govardhan, there was barely electricity. There was barely running water. It was quiet. All these crazy stalls that are selling all kinds of things that line the road, they weren't there. It was just Giriraj and a few pilgrims and cows. And you wanted to come here and bring us here and show us the wonders of Sri Vrindavan Dham. And so we came with you in a falling apart bus that was without any padding on the seats. And even you rode in the bus with us, because the car that we provided for you broke down before we even got 2 blocks down the road. When we came here to Govardhan, you decided you would take your massage, your bath, and we would have our lunch here. And so you got down off the bus, and we also got down. And after your bath and your massage, after your massage and bath, you stepped out to sit down and accept prasad. We were all sitting along the veranda, also the ladies on one side and the men on the other. I was your humble servant cook that day, and I brought your prasadam out and placed it before you. And immediately upon the plate touching the ground in front of you, out of nowhere, two snarling dogs appeared, just making horrible sounds and threatening and baring their teeth. And your army of devoted followers, your young sannyasis and brahmacharis, they jumped up ready to defend you, Srila Prabhupada. And you also jumped and you put your hand up and you beckoned them to sit down again. And all the while the dogs were snarling and snarling and showing their teeth and barking and menacing. And you calmly sat down and you took a chapati and tore it in half and gave one and gave one, and then with a graceful flicker of your wrist, you said, "Jow." And these little dogs just turned around with their little pieces of chapati and walked away. And then you turned to us, and you, with a mild chastisement, without any harshness, but you said to us, "You never know who they may be." And with that little mild chastisement, we understood the incredible situation where we were in with you here in Govardhan, where every single living entity was a special soul, and we had to take care that our own behavior towards all these living entities here in the Dham was very, very respectful. So in closing, I wanted to recall a Vyasa Puja offering that I had written to you in 2006. At that time, there had been some departures, and these departures were reflecting in my mind and my heart at that time. And thus I wrote to you, "My dear spiritual master, father, and beloved bestower of truth, knowledge, and love of Godhead to the fallen and conditioned souls, Please accept my humbly offered obeisances to you forever and always. You are the divine life and shelter of the Hare Krishna movement, which is a beacon of light for the next 10,000 years in the age of Kali Yuga. May all souls realize to the fullest extent your merciful blessings. This year, so this was in 2006, but it can be fast-forwarded to 2008. This year, your gift of love to all of us seems to have taken on a deeper, more significant reality in our lives. As many of your sons and daughters, many of your grandsons and granddaughters have departed or are beginning to depart from this mortal world. It is actually quite wonderful to see how they have embraced your teachings, departing in a peaceful, almost joyous demeanor by remembering you and Lord Krishna. One God sister expressed this to me shortly before she passed. She said, "I am glad to be prepared for this moment by the last 30 years of practical knowledge and practice which he kindly instilled into our hearts. Because of him, because of you, I have no fear at all." Even though her body was completely deteriorated, she was personally very tranquil, without anxiety, simply chanting and reading Srimad Bhagavatam, in which she discovered even deeper meanings and truth through your mercy that was present and continues today. In some instances, the departure has become practical demonstrations of your love, along with the love developed by your dear son or daughter. That love is now being transmitted to all of us in terms of bittersweet last-minute lessons and darshans. It is so intimate and intense that tears form, waiting to fall. And the so-called sufferings and pains of the material body, afflicted by whatever disease, nears the end of its term. Your sons and daughters are entering into that experience with a similar mood of surrender and service and determination that you demonstrated via your own departure. I cannot admit to saying with full conviction that it doesn't affect our hearts when those who have helped and guided us and loved us are departing or are departed. You left us behind with your love, your teachings, and each other to carry on your mission. And they are also leaving behind personal legacies to fulfill and add to your glory. But in either case, it's not without a sense of sorrow that we bid farewell. I meditate on what I can do for you now in the present, and I pray to serve you and to serve those who are following you in loving devotion without deviation in hopes of satisfying you through them, learning how to serve you from them. I admit to the further desire of one day to be again personally with you in that ISKCON in the spiritual sky that you told us would be there. If you would like me to do something in particular for you at this time, something special, please indicate, for I'm always waiting to serve you. All glories to you, Srila Prabhupada. All glories to your movement, and all glories to your followers. Hare Krishna.